This is the Friday, June 21st, 2019 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us again is Naomi Bloom. Naomi, welcome back.
Thanks, Delaney.
Naomi, what's going on in the cotton markets? Why are they not reacting to weather the way the other grains are?
Yeah, the cotton complex is actually under the idea that the crop is doing quite all right, actually, and that we're going to have another ample production year. And so because of that and just not having a lot of import demand from China right now, cotton prices just continue to slip a little bit lower. They've been trading sideways for about a month on the futures price, and 65 cents is pretty good support. If they don't get any big fresh news, though, soon, it does seem like there could just be more of a grind lower for prices to go. But again, it's because right now it's just assumed that the yield will be there and that we've got cotton.
And it seems like that's not the only market that's trading sideways. The other market we briefly glazed over it there during the main show was the live cattle markets, mm-hmm. also trading in a sideways pattern. It seems what's going to take for them to get out of this?
Yeah, August fat cattle support at 103 overall right now. And I think it's building a base of support. My thought is that just the consumer, with as horrible as the summer has been, isn't doing the grilling that they normally would be doing. And the short-term supplies are decent, but I'm thinking down the road with the production loss that we had from the flooding, which still hasn't come into the marketplace yet, and I think will be coming to light sooner than later, it's starting to paint a supportive picture for fourth quarter cattle for sure and into first quarter. I don't feel that this cattle market will fall below a buck anytime soon. But if we can just start building a sideways trading pattern, you know, that's not the worst thing at all. It's just really not. And if we can see some positive traction for our markets to China, that would be fantastic to just get some of the local supply that we have out of here. I think it's finding its bottom. We just need some bigger news to get it to work higher.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned also the weather news there, the impact from the flooding, because USDA next week has the quarterly stocks report coming out. They're finally going to account for that grain that was lost in Nebraska, especially Iowa, Missouri, during the flooding, the bomb cyclone. What do you anticipate to see the USDA account for some of that on-farm storage that was lost?
Yeah, finally, we will see that on the quarterly stocks number. It'll be interesting. You know, there's a lot of debate back and forth as far as how much production loss that is as far as the stocks on hand. But I think no matter what, it'll be supportive, especially with what we have for lower production coming down the road. And from the planted acres perspective side of that report, normally they would take numbers from late May, early June, but right now the data that they're having, the bulk of it is May 30th through June 10th data, but it is extended from June 10th or June 17th. So we are seeing them have more current data on there, which makes me think, well, that might be why the USDA is being aggressive about getting, you know, the forage for the cover crops for the livestock producers, because maybe we're not going to have the supply there like people are thinking. And for old crop, the producers right now are holding back, and it's not out of greed by any means, thinking that prices would go higher. The reason they're holding back is because they're not sure about what's going to grow in their field or not grow, and if they've done forward contracting, they need to hold that back to hopefully to fulfill some of their needs for what they're going to be harvesting in the fall. And the harvest is going to be late. There's just so many variables that are going to just keep this market churning and churning and churning. And then Friday's USDA report next week is just going to be the first of many puzzle pieces to come.
Naomi, are you at a point yet where you're starting to think, oh, crap, I have no idea what to expect about this year, particularly when it comes to those crops?
Yeah, it's very concerning. When I drove here and went through Northwest Illinois, I've never seen that kind of a situation before, where I was driving and seeing field after field bare, not planted, thinking, well, maybe they'll go into soybean acres. But I my thought was make it stop. And then when I got to the Iowa border and the fields were still barely planted or only ankle tall, that's when I just knew, where I'm like, this is beyond historic. And now you're asking Mother Nature to give us perfect weather for July, August, September, and October, and even into November with as late as this crop is going to be. And then NOAA just came out this week and said, no, it's supposed to be rainy and cool for the most of the summer. So it's the first day of summer. The days are going to start to get shorter. This crop is ankle tall, shorter in some places. I think the market hasn't even realized what could be coming.
Well, and that's a great segue here into this question from Bill in a meeting in North Dakota. He said, when does this poor start to the growing season start to do more in the markets?
We'll see it a little bit next week with the planting progress numbers, but then it'll be week by week with the crop conditions and then the July USDA report. Now, remember, in 93 and 95, the market peaked the second week of July, but the difference is that in 1993, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio were planted. Guess who's not planted this year? And then in 2012, the market finally peaked in August. And every little bit of news that came out just kept feeding that bullish story. So this is just unprecedented. We don't know what the hybrid seeds are able to do in swampy water like this. We're going to learn pretty quick. And I think we're just beginning. Iowa State thinks yield is going to be down 21%. They've got their data together. They have really good historical information and statistical information to justify a 21% yield loss on top of even more prevent plant acres coming out there. Again, that is why the USDA has their stuff together, and they are trying to get these cover crops in the ground so at least there's forage for the dairies and for the livestock out there.
So you mentioned the peak there happening second week of July back in 93, 95. We've seen it in August. Where do you think the peak will be this year? I know it's hard to predict.
I think there'll be two peaks. So I think that we'll see a summer peak of some sort because the seasonals will come into play. And then we'll see a setback. Even in 2012, the market lost $1.50 from the high to the harvest low. But then depending on what we find out at harvest, and then when we find out that maybe, well, does South America now plant more corn than soybeans as they're making their planting decisions? I think this is something that could keep the market supported well into 2020, especially when we see China, who encouraged their producers to plant more soybeans and less corn acres, and now they have the armyworm. I mean, we're just getting started. We are just getting started.
So domestically, we obviously have a lot of issues, and we talked about this a little bit during the main program, the idea that Brazil could supply corn to the U.S., but we've got another question here from Richard on Twitter. He said, can enough corn be imported to offset our domestic shortfall in new crop by causing an unforeseen ceiling in new crop prices?
That's a very fair question. So if Brazil has 1.5 billion bushels, remember, they have their regular customers. And so we've seen the United States import from Brazil before when prices go higher. So, yes, they can be importing to us, but China is likely, I'm going to guess, be needing to buy corn from Brazil also. So, no, I don't think that Brazil can just come in and supply us with everything we would need. I don't think that would happen anyway. But it really then hones into what does Argentina have available? What does Ukraine have available? And again, remember on the chart that I tweeted out earlier on Friday, it's really important to remember that a quarter of the world's corn is grown in China, the United States grows a third of it, and then the amount that Brazil and Argentina grows is minuscule compared to the rest of it. And three quarters of the world's corn is grown in the northern hemispheres. And we have hot weather moving into the Black Sea region. So yes, Ukraine would be able to probably be able to export something to the world, likely to China also. If they're starting to have weather conditions, again, summer is just getting started. So there's a lot of weather all over the world that we need to be monitoring daily.
Naomi, I have one final question to you. And I believe this question is on the minds of a lot of people. The idea that we could plant ourselves out of a weather market. Weather is often what causes some volatility in the futures market. And I think this year, a lot of people are going to be watching to see, okay, when we finally do get combines rolling in September, October, November, what are we going to get for final yields? Do you see us or anticipate that we could do something like that of planting ourselves out of a weather market?
It could be possible, but there's a lot of people who are done planting, period. And from now, what they would plant, I think I wouldn't want to plant corn past the first day of summer. I mean, unless you know it's going to go for silage, period. But you are taking so many chances with Mother Nature, who is not giving us a cooperative forecast. I don't know that I would want to take the risk of that, especially if I know that I can put my acres into prevent plant and then provide feed for my neighbor down the road who has livestock. If I could put a cover crop on for him just to make sure that he's got something to feed, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel good to see my crop growing in my field, and my field isn't just sitting idle. But I think this is more historic than we even understand yet. And with the benefit of hindsight, 6 months from now, we'll be able to put the pieces back together. But there's just too many moving parts right now to really have a good handle on what's going on out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Naomi Bloom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Join us again next week when we'll explore a multi-state effort to stop the advance of an invasive species, and Ted Seifert will join us at the Market to Market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.